Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you for joining us. We appreciate it, and I hope your Friday is off to a good start. I actually have a little bit of sound here from Joe Biden. He decided to deliver a speech at the National Bar Association Gala, and I don't know. I think it's kind of fun with Joe. He never knows when he's going to start yelling, when he's going to go into a whisper, when he's going to get sentimental. But this was definitely a more angry speech than we're used to. And I did post this on the website, by the way. I posted the Kamala Harris word salads and the Joe Biden screaming, because I think it's always a good reset for us to remember how good we have it, to remember how far we've come, who we are, where we've been, the passage of time. The word salads are contagious here, as you can see. So let's have a little bit of Joe Biden. This is cut five. He starts talking about why the law matters. Keep in mind, this is a man who defied the Supreme Court on many occasions, who didn't really care that much about the rule of law when he was president. But now that he's out of the White House, it matters again. This is cut five.
Courts matter. The law matters, and the Constitution matters. I think a lot of Americans are starting to realize that under the pressure we're under now with this guy we have as president. Oh, get ready, folks. This is just starting. I'm proud I've appointed judges doing their best to be independent, fair, and impartial, respecting the rule of law.
Yeah. Pause there. Yeah, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who just recently said she's a Supreme Court justice, she can tell us how she feels. She basically described what most people do in a podcast as the reason she became a Supreme Court judge. I'm sure you're very proud of your picks, Joe. Also, it's hilarious that he's talking about the Constitution matters. When the Supreme Court would make any decision this guy didn't like, he was a shred the Constitution. He didn't care about the Constitution one bit. And now he is a defender of the piece of paper. You know the thing. Joining us now, and you know, it's Friday. A lot of you are unwinding. A lot of people take Fridays off. Mike Crawford spends his time getting reprimanded by judges for his YouTube stream. Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks joins us now. Mike, rewind a little bit. How did you end up in a situation where on this Friday afternoon you're getting scolded by a judge?
Well, we frequently stream court streams from Zoom. And this morning we did that, and we got reprimanded. It was the first time it's ever happened. Basically, she threw a threat down of like criminal contempt of court. It was kind of wild. And the whole thing of it, too, is the victim wanted us to stream it. So what's the issue? Basically, they're defending somebody who pled out today to threats, to making threats. And she's a prime witness for against Aiden Carney. This is the Lindsay Gattani. So it's within the public interest to stream this hearing today because the witness has lied about me. I wrote an affidavit for Aiden Carney about it, claimed that I did crimes that I didn't do. I wanted to stream that. I thought it was worth streaming. The public wanted to hear it and watch it, and the judge got very upset. Then I looked the judge up, and she used to work for Norfolk County. She worked for DA Michael Morrissey. So it's all part of the family here. They issue threats. This is not the first time I've been threatened covering this stuff. It's just part of the business here in Massachusetts. It's now a crime to be a journalist. They want to certify us as journalists to cover this stuff, but they won't even get back on my application. So it's like, how can I request permission, which they want, if I can't be designated as a journalist, which is outrageous. The whole state and the way these courts work with us journalists, it's not cool. It's just not cool at all.
I just want to issue a clarification to something you just said, Mike Crawford. It's it's illegal to be a real journalist. You know, if you were a journalist who was just kissing Michael Morrissey's ass, I don't think you'd have an issue. I'd be in.
I would have been sitting in court. You know, that
you would have been. You would have been golden, Mike. There would have been no problems
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. If I was friends with Morrissey, I would be right in there. I'd probably get some free lunches. I'd probably maybe get a sofa. You know, but instead I get criminal contempt threats. This is what the standard is in Massachusetts now.
Can you just elaborate a little bit on Lindsay Gaetani here and this case? Because I know you said she's a prime witness against Turtle Boy, but the case that was happening today, this was different with the victim.
Aiden, who is pro-Aiden. She was friendly with Lindsay Gaetani, friends with her, didn't like what she saw, and now she's a witness for Aiden Carney. And she is a victim in this case today in Attleboro District Court where Lindsay Gaetani threatened her. And Lindsay pled out today, and it was, I believe, a charge of, I wish I had the charge right in front of me, but it was a misdemeanor. And basically it was for the action of threatening this woman who's a witness. It's funny how it's not witness intimidation when she's a witness for Turtle Boy and one of Norfolk County's best witnesses, Lindsay Gaetani, who, you know, has a lot of issues, a lot of prevention orders she's issued, but she's also got them against herself. Like, she is just not a credible witness. And today she pled guilty to the charge. And basically it was a threat against a woman named Mary Bagwell, who is a witness for Aiden Carney. And there's also another witness intimidation hearing coming out next week in Attleboro District Court with another person who threatened the same woman. So it's funny how there's a lot of witness intimidation going on, but it never gets charged when it's for Michael Morrissey, unless it's in a different district, which is Attleboro. Attleboro has actually been good, at least, on pursuing some of these charges and some of these threats against witnesses.
And, Mike, I want to get to Sandra Birchmore's case in a minute here, but while we're on the topic of Turtle Boy, there were some news stories this week about Karen Reed and her Lexus. I actually addressed this yesterday with one of our guests, but she wants her Lexus back. It's her car. I can understand why. What's the holdup here? Have you heard anything, any details as to why the state is claiming she can't have that car back yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't heard a peep on it, and the phone too. Like, they have Aiden's phones and Karen's phones, and every attorney that I've heard from said it's understandable that they even held Karen's car because it was allegedly the murder weapon, even though she wasn't convicted of murder. But that's the reasoning for them even holding the car. But why were they holding these phones when they could have just copied everything on them in one day and giving them their phones back? That's what happens in other courtrooms, apparently. So the question is, why were they even holding Karen's phones and Aiden's phones still to this day? It's more just Norfolk County, I think, the district attorney's office, trying to make it as difficult as possible for Aiden Carney and Karen Reed.
Yeah, and also, if you're going to hold the car during the case, I can understand that to a degree, but it's over. I mean, she's a free woman. So do they have any, has she received any information as to what their reasoning is?
I have not heard anything on it. There hasn't been a filing as far as I know. I know there was just recently, some filings that have been sort of made public. I'm not sure if they're even supposed to be made public, but it wasn't about that. So I haven't seen anything on what the prosecution's holdup is on that.
Okay, now let's switch gears here to the Sandra Birchmore case, because Matthew Farwell, who's the accused murderer here, his court date has been pushed back yet again. What do we know about this? And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the same thing with the Karen Reed. What's the holdup? People want to see justice served here. They want to see this guy go through a trial and figure out more about what happened. What's going on in the Matthew Farwell situation?
Well, you have to think that maybe, possibly, that there's some kind of deal making happening, or not even deal making. Maybe the deal's already been made and they're following up with what Matthew Farrell told them about some other people who I would expect to be in law enforcement and maybe even within that DA's office. So I think there's an investigation going on. I clearly think Matthew Farwell is waiving all these hearings because he knows things are going to happen later for him, maybe. And I think they're trying to get the death penalty off the table, and hopefully that Matthew Farwell leads to some other arrests. That's hoping, because I do believe there were others involved in all of this. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it is very curious that he keeps waiving hearings. They keep delaying. There's no real filings. There's been a couple filings by Matthew Farwell, but nothing substantial. So it's very interesting to see that it's been a year and nothing's happened, really.
Yeah, and I think people are starting to get rightfully very frustrated at the pace this is going at. I also did want your take, because you know a lot of the players in the local scene, and there was quite the brouhaha recently in the North End with a senior WHO official who has been accused, or alleged, if you watch this video, of throwing a shoe at a woman. Did you see this, Mike Crawford, and what do you make of it?
Yeah, the whole family, too. The father was in on it, the sisters. It was, and it seems like it looked like they were drinking. There was a festival going on there. So I'm assuming they were under the influence. But this was a fight with a woman that was a mother, and they had an issue with the son earlier in the day and their neighbors. So she's, you know, hopefully getting a restraining order against them. It looked like she had some issue. She filed the wrong one. But this is... it's a pattern. It's like, what is going on in the WHO administration where all of their people keep getting arrested in the most embarrassing situations over and over and over again? They need to figure out their hiring practices, especially for some of these jobs that are like this woman. She was the neighborhoods, you know, she works with the neighborhoods. What's that? That's like a no-show job that just kind of keeps that's embarrassing. She's supposed to be good for the neighborhood, but she's beating up someone in her neighborhood. Like, It's really a bad look for WHO.
Yeah, her name is Sierra D'Amico, and this is the Boston.gov website describes her as the Deputy Director of Neighborhoods, Dorchester, East Boston, North End, West End, you know, and so on and so forth. It says she's a third-generation North End resident, and she received her degree in Bachelor's of Arts in Communications from St. Anselm's College. So, yeah, this is very strange. And to your point, there were multiple family members involved here. There's a follow-up clip. This is from Bostonians Against Mayor WHO, that her sister appears to swing at the same woman.
Yeah.
And I think what you said there about this being a pattern, especially here in Massachusetts, is really going to resonate with people, because it feels like every other day we have a story like this.
Yeah, welcome to the neighborhood. Here's a shoe over their head. I mean, high heel right to the... I mean, it's just outrageous. It's really outrageous. And you got the question, like, why is this happening over and over with your administration? It looks incompetent. It looks like you're hiring the worst people here.
Yeah, it really does. And if people want to watch that video, I have it up at gracecurlyshow.com. It's pretty crazy stuff. Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks, I thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad we were able to hit so many different topics during that segment. We are going to be keeping up with Mike Crawford over the next few months as we dive into the Sandra Birchmore trial and as we continue to follow the ramifications for D.A. Morrissey because of the disaster that was this Karen Reed case. When we come back, we're going to play a little bit more Biden sound. We're going to talk a little bit about Kamala Harris and these jobs numbers, and we'll take your calls as well. But in the meantime, I wanted to... oh, and I should mention, I don't want to forget this, at The Young Jerks. Follow him on social media. That's a huge resource for Mike Crawford. I know he appreciates the follows, and it's Jerks, J-U-R-K-S. The other day, I received a nice compliment on my smile. I've been receiving quite a few compliments, actually. Watch out, Taylor. I might have some photos to be showing off soon. And the compliment was, your teeth are so nice. And usually, you know, up until I started going to Perfect Smiles, I would say, oh, thanks, but my bottom teeth are kind of crooked, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And I would just, you know, throw all this stuff at people who really were just trying to be nice. And they're like, why did I start talking to this chick? But now I'm so confident in my smile. I started Invisalign with Dr. Tam at Perfect Smiles, and it's been awesome. It was just the tweak I needed. The Invisalign has been easy. It's been painless. And really, the hardest part of the whole process was making that first call to Melissa and just saying, this is something I want to do. And then once I talked to her, she's an angel, I was able to really start this immediately. And so that's my message to everyone today, is you're probably being the hardest part of the process, is just you not wanting to start it. And once you get going at Perfect Smiles, Everybody there is incredibly helpful. There's no judgment. They want your smile to be exactly what you want it to be, and they're going to help you get there. They're passionate about what they do. If you want to call them today at 603-595-6699 or check them out at perfectsmiles.com. They've got a great website. You can see what I'm talking about. You can understand why I love the entire team at Perfect Smiles. So again, that's perfectsmiles.com or call 603-595-6699. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
My friends, we need to face the hard truth of this administration. It has been to ease all the gains we've made in my administration, to erase history rather than make it, to erase fairness, equality, to erase justice itself. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact.
Why are you yelling at me?
Yeah, it's all he knows how to do now. It's like his comfort zone is yelling. And yeah, we are trying to undo everything you did for the last 4 years because we were being overrun by illegal aliens. Inflation at one point was at 9%. I would say if Trump's mission is to undo or erase everything Joe Biden did, I mean, I only wish that were possible. Unfortunately, there have been too many people who were murdered by illegal aliens, too many people who were, you know, just completely forgotten about over the last 4 years. We can't erase it, Joe. I wish we could, but we can't. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is whose book would you rather be forced to read, Joe Biden's or Kamala Harris's?
I'm going to go with Joe Biden. I love that Kamala Harris's excuse now for not running for governor of California. Not that you don't need one. I'm happy to just take it for what it is, that you're not running. But she says, Stephen, here's the thing. The system is broken. Yeah, the system is broken. When you don't have to win a primary, when you don't have to win a single vote, when you can blow through $1 billion and not pay people afterwards because you had Cardi B reading from her cell phone on stage and you still managed to get wiped out in a landslide victory, then I would agree with you that the system is broken. But it was broken to benefit you, Kamala. It wasn't broken. Like, you shouldn't be mad about the fact that it's broken. You're one of the only beneficiaries of said broken system. So if I had to choose, I'm going to go Biden. I'm going to read his book.
I think I would go Kamala. I think that's more light reading. I can get through it faster. It's more of a brain workout if you're trying to actually understand what she's saying. And probably not as verbose as Joe Biden. He's got a lot more stories to tell.
You've heard all Joe Biden's stories. You know, there's a chance I see one in there that I've never heard of before. There's no chance of that for you, Taylor.
Yeah. 74%, however, say Joe Biden's book is the one they would rather be forced to read.
I wonder if she'll do a chapter on her 2 weeks at McDonald's, you know, what that was like and how it gave her such perspective. It gave her such a sense of what the average regular person is doing on the day to day. I have to read you this quote because John Brennan actually said these words, okay? And I'm going to do it in my Mr. Burns voice because that's how John Brennan sounds. He said, "It's so unfortunate that partisan politics has now seeped into the highest levels of the intelligence community." Do you hear yourself? Yeah, that is unfortunate, sir. He's basically saying it's so unfortunate that I did this thing that now I'm saying is really bad. Sebastian Gorka said, "You mean because you obeyed Barack Obama to use the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA to persecute President Trump?" Hello, Glass House. We'll be right back.
Oh, you have to read the book.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
I mean, there's a lot of personal stuff in the book. I mean,
Poor Dougie.
You've blown the lid off of Doug? What's going on?
For example, my birthday's in October. The election's in November. You see where I'm going. And Dougie kind of dropped the ball on my big birthday.
He didn't get you anything?
Oh, you have to read the book.
All right. Just tell me the page. Tell me the page.
Wow. Throwing Doug right under the bus.
There's so much to unpack in that cut. One.
Unpack it with me, man. It's Friday. Yeah, unpack this.
I don't mean to step on your toes here.
No, but... please. Step.
The election's in November. My birthday's in October. I think you know where I'm going with this. No, I don't. They're just two different days on two different months. Don't really know where you're going with it. And who... Once you turn 21, there's no more big birthdays, and there's no reason to have parties or anything. You can look forward to your birthday. That's fine. I don't care.
Turn 60 to play devil's advocate.
So
that's
what?
A big birthday.
So what? That
the,
was your
like
big
your wife's 40th birthday.
That
you're
was
not
your
gonna
big
you're not gonna do something nice.
Surviving is just an accomplishment now.
I didn't know
she,
you were anti-birthday.
She's the
you know why you're anti-birthday, though? It's because your birthday sucks. You have a terrible birthday. Like, this is... Okay, so now we're getting a little bit... We're understanding. I feel like, guys, I am the closest thing Taylor's ever going to have to a therapist. And it's a full-time job. You don't like the day your birthday falls on. She's got an October birthday. That's a fun time. You know, that's like the crisp weather. She probably likes celebrating her birthday.
The pumpkin spice latte.
Sweatshirt weather. Poor
just
Dougie.
Snuggle up with Dougie. Dougie, Doug, Doug. No.
Yeah. What
was he supposed to do? Stop everything and throw you a party while you're trying to win the presidency? Good Lord. The man can't win. This is why men can't win. Oh, honey, I'm going to throw everything I have into helping you win the highest office in the world. He forgot my birthday. Stop
it. Now again, I got to play devil's advocate. I got to play Kamala's advocate here. And I hate that you're putting me in this position. But did he really throw everything he had at this campaign?
Like, I've always been like this. My dad was like this.
He threw
you
hands.
Know, he kind of created more problems for her than he helped manage. And I will tell you this, though. One thing about birthdays, as a woman... as a married woman, that I think I'm pretty good about is I'm pretty straightforward. I don't go for this. I say one thing and then I'm secretly really mad behind the scenes. If you want something, and there's been a few birthdays. The birthday I had where my daughter was born, she was born on my birthday. That day I had something in mind. I said, you know, I'd like a specific thing for this, a specific little piece of jewelry to mark this day. This is what I want. I gave him specifics. I said, take your time with it. It doesn't have to be on, like, obviously the day passed and we didn't know she was going to be born that day. But I gave him enough time. But if I don't do that, then I don't sit here and say, well, why didn't you, you know? And I think most women actually, we get a bad rap, but I think most women are pretty reasonable like that.
I eat no for breakfast.
I just think sometimes there are some people who like to set up a little bit of what I would call entrapment, where... it's like, hey, no big deal. I'm chill. Don't worry about it.
I would argue, Grace, that you're the exception, not the rule.
I don't know. Say, how much can people expect? Everyone's busy. Everybody's trying their best. You know, you send your husband to the grocery store. You should have a good idea of his ability to figure out what you want. You know, like, I gave my husband a very specific... and he's very good. Like, he's typically... pretty good at this stuff. But there was one occasion I sent him out for deli meat and he came back with ground turkey. So like, if you send someone out for something, you have a gauge of what you're gonna get. And if you don't put any parameters on this thing, and I have a feeling that Doug probably doesn't do much during the day. He's probably not the most self-sufficient dude. So you're right. Like, you think he's gonna throw you this
He's too busy cooking.
He's too busy trying to keep his head above water. He's too busy trying to make sure the Daily Mail doesn't have any scoop on his past relationships. He's stressed out too, Kamala. And I don't know. I don't know about putting air in your dirty laundry, although that's all I said I wanted in this book. But I didn't want it on Doug. I wanted the dirty laundry on Joe. I didn't want it on Dougie Doug. Anyway, we do have to move on because we're going to do Woker Joke here. And Woker Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Aviva Trattoria is the perfect place for really any occasion, even a big birthday. Even this is a good idea. You got a big birthday coming up, you make your reservation, you look like a king.
You know what's funny? I just thought of...
What?
Even Trump took the time out on her birthday to wish her a happy birthday while he was working at McDonald's.
Doug, oh, yeah, and, he, and it was a really heartfelt one.
It's like, her birthday, right? Happy birthday, Kamala. Is that right? Today's your birthday?
Yeah, and people were waiting for him to go somewhere negative with it, and he didn't. He was just like, happy birthday. To be fair, he was in a great mood that day. He was serving french fries at McDonald's, which really was a dream come true for him. Woker Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is the perfect gift for any occasion. Go to AvivaTrattoria.com, and don't forget to check out the menu at AvivaTrattoria.com. Taylor, are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
Let's play Woker Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
And the joke was on me.
And you know what, Taylor?
Yes.
See, this is what happens. Now I'm starting to take your side. I'm all over the map here. But yeah, she starts by saying, oh, the system's broken, even though everything was laid out for her. You know, it couldn't have been handed to her on more of a silver platter. $1 billion that she didn't have to really fundraise for.
She didn't have to participate in a primary.
Yeah, a nomination she didn't earn. She didn't get a single vote. She didn't have to go through a primary. And she's complaining about that. She's, I'll just say, witching and moaning about that. And then she's whining about her birthday. It's kind of like victim mentality here. You know, it's everybody else's fault. Maybe you should have said something. Maybe you should have clued him in. The big 6-0. What are you thinking, Doug? That's always nice to do for men. Give them a little warning.
Yeah, that is. As stressful as it is, to be reminded, it is good.
Very male and successful.
We don't remember things on our own.
It's true. All right, let's go to the callers here.
Worst birthday ever.
We're going to go to Peter. You're up first on Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Peter?
Yes, I am.
All right, Peter, here is your headline. Family Feud makes history with its first all-trans team to compete.
I think that is a joke.
Not a joke. That's true.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Are you a Family Feud guy, Taylor?
I used to be until I saw this headline. There's a lot of... I mean, it was great after school watching. You know, you come home, 3 o'clock or so, Family Feud is on with... Who was it when we were a kid? Before Steve Harvey... There was Richard Karn, and before him was Louis Anderson. Louis Anderson did Family Feud.
We're in the archives here.
Oh, I can go further back than that.
I used to play it online. There was like a Family Feud online.
Richard Dawson.
I used to love playing it. I don't mind Family Feud. I don't really watch it, but I like it better than Wheel of Fortune. I can't stand Wheel of Fortune.
I hate Wheel of Fortune. Grace.
People love it, though. People love it.
I think
you know those videos that go viral where the person that they're like, look at this idiot. He didn't fill it in correctly. That would be me. I would never go on a show like that. I see those and my mom knows them immediately. She's very smart in her, you know, to be fair. But I'm like, I would be the person who threw out something and then went viral for being the biggest moron on the planet.
Yeah. It's a game that's really, it's not based on knowledge. I'm a Jeopardy guy. Or Family Feud. I mean, Family Feud, I would get frustrated with, I feel. But Jeopardy, that's my bread and butter.
Yeah, because you'd be arguing, like, that's what people think is the best food to bring on a picnic.
Well, actually, they're wrong.
I'd
be quite clutch in Family Feud, because all my guesses would probably be the number 5s and 6s and 7s, the least rated on the board, because that's where my mind goes. Not to the most popular thing, but to what I like. So...
He's a rebel, that Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Ed from Connecticut. I'm rooting for you, Ed. You've been on a hot streak lately. Here's your headline, Ed.
All right, Ed, here it is. Black activists compare anti-trans bathroom bill to Jim Crow at Texas Capitol.
Woke?
It's woke, Ed, yes. The streak continues.
Yes. Not a joke. Not a joke.
Woke? Thank you, Ed, for participating.
This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
I know. I can't believe there was a comparison to Jim Crow and Joe Biden wasn't there in his tuxedo.
More like
to deliver it for us.
Kim Crow and Jim Crow. Am I right? No? Anyone? Bueller? Moving on.
Okay, next up, we have John. You're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, John?
Yes.
All right, John, here is your headline. Scientists say cat urine can lengthen the life of your tires and dramatically reduce pollution.
I'll say woke.
I'm sorry, that is a joke.
Stinky. By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Oh, there's the smell of cat urine. Oof.
It's ammonia, basically.
Gross. Mike, you're next up. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
Yes.
All right, Mike, here is your headline. Buckingham Palace guards perform Pink Pony Club for Pride Month.
That's got to be a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
Wow.
That's true.
Not a joke. Not
what's
a joke.
British Army?
What did he say?
I don't know. Something.
I missed that one.
Yeah, I did too, but I'm sure it was derogatory toward the royal family, and I'm always in approval of that.
We have Michael, your last up on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Michael?
I am ready, and I'll tell you, I was in London for the Pride Parade this year, so look at that.
Oh, you heard that live, huh?
How kismet.
Unfortunately, I did.
Sang along, knew all the lyrics, did you, Michael? I'm kidding.
Definitely not.
Here's your headline. Trans darts star releases emotional statement after being banned from playing against women.
I say that's a joke.
Not a joke. That one's true.
Taylor, are you good at darts?
Not a joke. Not a joke.
You're always in like a club or cigar bar.
I can't remember the last time I socially went out to a bar and played darts.
You frequent establishments in various boweries.
Jared, are you good at darts?
I am not good at darts.
Okay.
I mean, I can hit the board. I can't really get.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't call my shots.
I don't like throw it into walls or across tables and stuff.
You know
what? I get there.
Not enthralled by the game. Don't care for it.
Eh.
Yeah, it's not really that captivating. I will give you that. Hey, I wanted to fill people in on one other big story today. Top Biden aide, this name might sound familiar to you guys, Mike Donilon. He was a major player in Biden's inner circle, and he told congressional investigators yesterday that he was paid $4 million for working on the Joe Biden reelection campaign. I'm curious, like, do you have to? So he was $4 million for working on the reelection campaign, and he would have received $4 million had Joe Biden been reelected. Now, there's so much about this that I'm interested in, because it's like $4 million on a reelection campaign. But then do you still get the full $4 million if the campaign doesn't finish out the campaign?
Like, it's like you only pay if you win, like a cut-rate attorney ad.
But there's two angles to this. It's like, on one hand, Joe Biden could say, well, you're not getting the original $4 million because the reelection campaign came to a halt. But on the other hand, the guy Mike Donilon could say, wait a second, I should get the second half of the $8 million because you dropped out because you're too old and too frail and you don't remember anything. That's not my fault. I was promised $4 million, and now I don't even have a chance to see if you'd win the election because you're not even qualified to keep running in it. But $8 million, well, let's just say $4 million because that's what he got. $4 million to run a disaster clown car campaign. I would have done it for two.
Yeah, I'll sink anybody's chances for two.
Oh yeah, but maybe that's our problem, Taylor. You know, we're selling ourselves short. We are constantly offering up this to people. We're like, hey, give me the job.
It seems like too good of a deal to be true.
It really does. $4 million for his work on Biden's 2024 election.
Nobody can take a campaign for $2 million. It's got to be four at least.
I would love to see like what he did on the campaign. Like, can you show me your work? Give me five things that you were responsible for during this re-election. Yeah, the Doge emails. Tell me five things you did during that re-election that constitutes or warrants getting $4 million. He must be one of these guys where people think he's like the secret genius. You know, you bring him into a campaign. Oh, we could never lose. Now we've got Mike Donilon. Turns out, doesn't mean much. We will be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So in yesterday's car crossover, Howie was filling us in on the really sad state of affairs at Harvard regarding the air conditioning units. And today in the Boston Globe, there's a story that says congressional Democrats threaten investigation if Harvard makes a deal with Donald Trump. So more than a dozen members of Congress who earn degrees from Harvard, are warning their alma mater not to cut any deal with Trump, and that doing so could warrant a congressional investigation. Howie, the hits just keep on coming for Harvard.
But Grace, what about the monkeys? What about the air conditioning units?
What are they supposed to do? Like, what do these 14 Democrats expect them to do? Go into their endowment? I shudder to think. But Howie, they're saying if you guys make this settlement with Trump in exchange for the reinstatement of all these billions of dollars, then we're going to come after you. Yeah. So it looks like either way, Harvard's in a bit of a pickle.
It would take a heart of stone not to laugh, wouldn't it? How about the fact that at Brown University, the entire community is up in arms because they've agreed to use only two genders in all their official forms. How dare they say that there are only two genders?
Can I ask you, sir, and I can't believe I've never asked you this before, but you have so many connections to so many different schools and places. Which institution do you enjoy seeing struggle the most? Like, they're all struggling against Donald Trump, but is there one in particular?
Yeah, Harvard.
Is it Brown?
It's
Harvard.
Harvard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Brown, because you're still bitter about that.
No, I am still bitter about Brown. But, you know, the thing is, I just, Harvard is like, you know, is in my view, for all those many years I lived in Cambridge, paid taxes in Cambridge, you know, hung out in Harvard. You know, it's a bigger canker than Brown University.
Yes, I would agree. Hey, Howie, so Joe Biden's still doing speeches. He was at the National Bar Association. I put it up on the website so people can watch some of the clips of him yelling. One of the things he said that stuck out to me is that Trump wants to erase everything he's done in his administration. Yeah. If you could erase one thing, what would you choose?
But I guess the border disaster would be the worst. How about you?
Yeah, I think it has to be the border. It's just such an influx. And we're still, as you've pointed out and Trump has pointed out, they're still trying to fix it. But with judges like the one we have in California, who's now basically accusing Kristi Noem of being a racist, these shenanigans, Howie, from these judges is still going on.
That's crazy. That decision is crazier than anything from Indira Talwani or Brian Murphy, whatever the hell his name is, here in Boston. I mean, that was unhinged for a New York Times op-ed piece, that decision she wrote.
Yeah, accusing Kristi Noem of racial animus for wanting to strip some of these millions of illegals of their temporary protective status, which Joe Biden was giving out like it was no big thing. Howie Carr is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you Monday.
Poor Dougie.